which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, with
liberty and justice for all.
We have the roll call, please.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Nguyen? Director Zara?
Yes.
Director Brandman?
Here.
Director Ta? Director Sheldon?
Here.
Director Yeo?
Here.
Director Rowe?
Here.
Director Bilodeau? Director Sarmiento?
Here.
You do have a quorum of your committee.
Okay. Do we have any items too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Okay. Do we have any visitors who would like to speak? I can't get participants. Here we go.
There are no hands raised at this time.
Okay, perfect. Okay, should we move on to the consent calendar? Do we have a motion for the consent calendar?
Moved by Brandman.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second by Director Sheldon.
Okay. We have a motion and a second.
Roll call, Director Green?
Yes.
Director Zara?
Yes.
Director Brandman?
Aye.
Director Ta? Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
That motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Okay. Shall we move on to the Sunset Gap Seawater Intrusion Investigation for additional monitoring wells installation?
Certainly. Thank you, Madam Chair. And it looks like, I'm going to guess Gary Yoshiba is giving this presentation because he's wearing a tie. Am I right, Gary?
That is correct.
Yeah, good.
We're honored.
Okay, do I share the screen now? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. This one. Share. That right?
Yes, we can see.
Oh, good, great. Okay, good morning, members of the committee. We'll walk you through the issue of the Sunset Gap seawater intrusion and then jump into the matter at hand, which is the proposed additional monitoring well installations in Sunset Gap. So the Sunset Gap is one of along the Orange County coastline and is shown in the red polygon here, you see here. As you already know, seawater intrusion has been an issue since the early 1900s. Engineers and geologists did recognize this problem, and by 1965, the Alamitos Barrier was constructed and commissioned. And same with the Talbot Barrier, which in 75, that barrier was commissioned as well. Now for Sunset Gap, we started the investigation into seawater intrusion in 2010. When elevated chloride started showing up in Huntington Beach wells number 4 and near and above the secondary water standard for chloride, which is 250 milligrams per. So that pretty much kick-started the investigation to characterize and determine the extent of seawater. And we first implemented the non-intrusive geophysical survey, which looked for highly conductive sources below in the ground, such as saline groundwater, under the Naval Weapons Station Seal Beach. So by 2012, unfortunately, Huntington Beach well number 12 had to be due to impacts of elevated chloride concentration, again, above 250 milligrams per liter. And unfortunately, the water corroded the casing, so it was beyond the well's repair, so it had to be eventually destroyed in 2015. So this greatly concerned us, as we knew we had a problem with HB12 being knocked out. So in that same year, monitoring wells BS-10-11 installed on the Naval Weapons Station, and subsequent monitoring wells were incrementally installed over the next 10 years. So So in 2017, staff contoured the extent of the chlorides in the Sunset Gap and worked on 9 geologic cross-sections from Alamitos Gap, Sunset Gap, down to the southeast, which is the Bolsa Gap. And that is to understand the connectivity of the aquifers based on available data. And in 2018, started the development of the groundwater model and with the end result is to determine the best control measures to mitigate seawater intrusion in the Sunset Gap. And as you can see later on in at the December WIC, staff will be giving you an update on the groundwater model development. So what did we learn? Well, for the past 10 years, we were able to install 9 multi-depth monitoring wells on the Naval Weapons Station. And those wells confirmed that seawater did exist and extend 3 miles inland, as well as it was found as deep as 300 feet. So staff was able to contour the chloride concentration from existing monitoring wells, and which shows actually, able to delineate the 250 milligram per liter line, which we also call the freshwater line. And that showed that the leading edge of the saline groundwater is in proximity to the Huntington Beach wells to the east. So just to give you a perspective, chloride concentration contour here at 10,000 milligrams per liter is more than half the concentration of seawater. Seawater is at 19,000 milligrams per liter. So you can already see that that concentration extends 1.5 miles inland from the coast. Most of these magenta contours, they represent the Beta Aquifer, which is about 300 feet deep. We've also found here, this monitoring well, BS-10, installed in 2010. Just the past 3 years, we saw an increasing chloride trend in the deeper aquifer, the Lambda Aquifer, which is one aquifer below the Beta. So it brought concern that this contamination is not confined to the Beta Aquifer, but now it looks like it's going deeper. A lot of these monitoring wells were able to help us determine groundwater gradients, flow directions. So I've, based on the groundwater flows, we identified possible source flows entering Sunset Gap. One of them is from the west in the Sunset Gap, diving under Landing Hill, moving eastward. Again, seawater is, we believe, is going through emergent zone in the Sunset Gap and diving down. We also believe that there is possible leakage across the Seal Beach Fault. Now, normally, major faults like the Newport-Inglewood Fault, Seal Beach Fault, they provide good seals for our basin aquifers, but we suspect that may not be the case here. Also, possible source flows for seawater coming from the Huntington Harbor. We know that past dredging operations in the harbor, just to deepen the marina, had inadvertently removed a clay layer and exposing the aquifer beneath and thus providing a conduit for seawater to flow down. Also, we suspect that seawater may be coming from the Bolsa Gap through the Bolsa Fairview Fault and the Newport-Inglewood Fault into the Sunset Gap. So none of these flow paths are mutually exclusive, but it could be a combination of source flows entering the Sunset Gap. So therefore, to further delineate the vertical extent of seawater intrusion and to determine the source flow direction of intrusion, staff is proposing the installation of 11 additional monitors 5 locations outside the Naval Weapons Station. So we have 4 locations in red, located in the city of Huntington Beach, and 1 location, BS-25, located in Seal Beach. A lot of these 5 locations will have a cluster of 2 to 3 wells Three of the five locations, BS 25, 28, 23, are located in residential areas. So we will be working daytime only, Monday through Fridays. You will notice too that BS 26 and 27, these locations will install well casings below the beta aquifer. So they will not only act as sentinel wells for the downgrade in Huntington Beach wells, but it'll also provide eyes on the Lambda and the Omicron aquifers below, because we're flying blind in that area. It's like it's a data gap, basically. Let's see. So the bottom line is all these wells will help identify the vertical extent of seawater intrusion, but it will also aid in the analysis and development of a future potential barrier in Sunset Gap with the use of our recently completed groundwater model to run different scenarios to control seawater intrusion. So the estimated project cost includes hiring a drilling contractor, hiring a consultant for to oversee construction management. The proposed well site BS 25 located in Seal Beach is located near a historical Native American settlement. So us to have an observer present to look over Native American interests during drilling. So the total estimated project cost is $1.5 million. three out of the five well sites are located within the state's designated coastal zones and will require coastal permits. OCWD has already started its community outreach program, which we introduced the Sunset Gap seawater intrusion results and the proposed well construction project in a letter to Huntington Beach Mayor, which was signed by Board President Sarmiento. And a presentation was given by staff and Director Ta to the City Council back in August. So we anticipate that this well project to start in late spring 2021. 8 months later, hopefully, we up that project by the end of that same year. So staff is recommending that this matter be agendized at the October 21st board meeting and adopt a resolution certifying CEQA study, filing the notice of determination, approve the geologist report, and approve the Sunset Gap Monitoring Well Installations Project with a budget of $1.6 million, authorize issuance of a notice inviting bids for well construction, and necessary permits authorized by the general manager, and authorize issuance of a RFP for construction management services. So that concludes my presentation. I'm open for questions.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions or comments? I'm not seeing any hands.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
This is Director Zara. I have a question. The question is, is it my understanding that we still don't have enough data on the flow enough to justify or proceed with actual barrier?
That is correct. Now we're looking at the kind of the vertical extent as well as the direction of where the possible seawater is coming from, whether it's coming from mainly from the south, is it coming from the west, from Sunset Gap through leakage through the fall, or a combination. So that is correct. We still have a data gap.
And then how, once these are installed, how long will it take before we actually compile enough data for proceeding?
I think it's, actually, let me ask Roy, address that question?
Thank you, Gary. Good job, by the way. Director Zara, I would say we have enough data to justify that we will need a new seawater barrier. I think there's adequate data, more than enough data to show that we have a threat to the basin and that needs to be addressed. The wells that are being proposed are really just to further delineate the extent of the intrusion in areas where we don't have data, but I think we have adequate data now to go forward, and we're not making that recommendation today, but I think in December, when we give an update to the committee and the board, that's when I think we're going to be looking for some authorization to take the next step towards developing a future barrier. So I think that's coming sooner than the completion of these additional monitoring wells.
So just to follow up on that, thank you for the explanation. Why is it then, if we have enough data, why is it that we need additional monitoring wells if in December, come December, we're moving forward with the entire project? Do we need to spend this money on this this amount on this on these wells?
Sure. So the wells are to provide additional information in areas where that are immediately up gradient of the Huntington Beach production wells. And so we would feel we recommend understanding how close the edge of the brackish water is to those production wells. We have some fairly large distances between monitoring wells where we're kind of interpolating between very long distances, and we think it would be better for us to have a much better precision as to our understanding of where that edge of that saline water is so that we know perhaps how quickly it might reach those Huntington Beach wells. That's one reason. The other reason is that the wells that are being proposed along Bolsa Chica Road to the east side of the weapons station, those wells are going to actually be very useful in the design, BS-26 and BS-27. That would be along the alignment of the future barrier, we believe. And as you can see, we don't have any monitoring wells. We don't have any geologic data along that in that area. And that's going to be where we're going to be likely to install a series of injection wells. It really helps to know the geology of the future barrier before we just go in and start proposing depths and numbers of wells. And so this is going to help us in the design of the future barrier. So it's all an integral part of that project.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the presentation. It was very informative. Thanks.
Director Rowe?
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, Gary, nice presentation. Roy, thanks for helping guide the team there and moving forward with this. I think the gap here is important for us to try to settle, and your plan for additional wells at these locations will help solve a lot of the questions. Good work. I'm looking forward to seeing what you think about the modeling in that area. You and I have talked about a couple of different alignments, and I'm interested in preserving as much of our fresh groundwater as it can. I'd like to point out that the main aquifer is much deeper, right, that people are using for production. And Huntington Beach well that got damaged, it was screened at a shallower interval, the Beta aquifer, which helped draw that saline water from the Beta further inland, but the deeper aquifers are still well preserved. Wouldn't you say that's true?
I would say what we call the main aquifer, and I'm sorry, I don't have a cross section handy, but the main aquifer is protected because it abuts up against a very deep part of the Newport Fault, Inglewood Fault. So we don't believe it's threatened by seawater intrusion. When you get to the Lambda and the Beta aquifer, that's where there is definitely a connection to the seawater and those aquifers, which have traditionally been very prolific aquifers for production wells. They've been very good aquifers, but unfortunately they are threatened and have been impacted.
All right, well, thank you so much, and looking forward to us moving forward, trying to better understand this. A barrier through here is not a cheap undertaking. We want to be effective in using the monies that we have to protect our basin. So thank you very much.
Okay, I don't see any other hands raised. So thank you very much for the presentation. Do we have a motion?
So moved, Director Zara.
Second.
Roll call, Director Green.
Yes.
Director Zara.
Yes.
Director Brandman. Director Brandman. Director Sheldon.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Rowe.
Yes.
That motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Okay, moving on to the Smith Pit recharge assessment.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. We were asked to give a presentation on Smith Pit and its potential to become a recharge basin. And Smith Pit, as you may or may not be aware, is part of what we refer to as the Santiago basins. So Santiago actually consists of 3 basins, Bond, Blue Diamond, and Smith. And we're going to take a look at Smith today, and Adam Hutchinson will give this presentation. Adam, you're gonna have to unmute yourself, Adam.
There we go. Sorry about that. I had to unshare my screen here to get here. Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Okay, let's talk about Smith Pit. So here's a map to orient you to where Smith Pit is. As Mike said, here's Santiago Basin Complex. You see Villa Park Road here, the north part of the map. That separates Smith Pit to the north from the Santiago Basin to the south. And just want to point out a few features of this area. First of all, we have a Santiago Creek that runs in from the top of the map. The creek actually runs through Smith Pit and through the Santiago Basin and then spills out of Santiago Basin before it flows to the Santa Ana River. We have a pipeline that we constructed that delivers Santa Ana River water to Santiago Basin. They are very important stormwater capture facilities for us. They have a lot of storage. And also want to point out some of the data that we're going to be looking at today. You see the red dot SC1, the monitoring well we constructed, that's located right adjacent to Villa Park Road. And then also to the east is a former landfill called Reed Pit. It has since been closed, and there's a school on top of that landfill right now, but there's were several monitoring wells constructed around that pit that provide some good information on the geology there. And later in the presentation, I'm going to show a cross-section through the Santiago Basin. That's that line AA prime that you see going from roughly north to south. So as Mike said, Smith Pit was purchased along with the other parcels that make up the Santiago Basin, not used for recharge directly. This pit does contain water when there's storm flow from Santiago Creek coming down from the upper part of the watershed there. And also Smith Pit has water in it when Santiago Basin have water above 260 and then have backwater into Smith Pit for pumping storm water up there from the Santa Ana River. The Santiago Basin, the former sand and gravel mine that were purchased by the district in the early 1980s. The basin become deeper to the south. Bond Basin down at the bottom end is over 130 feet deep, so quite deep. As I mentioned before, in the late 80s, Spirith Basin Pump Station and Santiago Pipeline were constructed to convey stormwater and other sources of water from the river up to those basins for recharge. These basins are very prolific recharge facilities. They can recharge over 200 acre feet per day when full. And most of that recharge is occurring through those near vertical basin sidewalls of the basin. Very little recharge occurring through the bottom of the basin, as we understand them. So moving on to cross-section. So this is that cross-section to the basin. This is kind of our conceptual understanding of the hydrogeology of the area. You can see that we're up near the foothills of the mountains right there. So the aquifer thickness is increasing greatly as you move to the southwest. And that's why you see the aquifer thickness greatly increasing. You can see the Santiago Basin's here very deep, and there's 260 feet that water backs up in the Smith Pit when we're pumping water up there. And just notice the groundwater levels that we have are very shallow underneath Smith Pit and then gradually deepen as you go to the southwest. Also want to point out our depth of bedrock with question marks here. We feel that these depth of bedrock could even be shallower than what we're showing in this diagram, but more work will need to be done to better delineate that depth of bedrock. So as we go through the presentation, I'm going to zoom in closer and closer to Smith Pit and look at the data we have for that area. So this is a detailed cross-section. We have dozens of these cross-sections that go through the basin. And the way these are set up is that you see the two different color shadings. First is the light brown color. These represent areas of finer grain sediments, which groundwater has a harder time flowing through as compared to the white areas, which are primarily sand and gravel, the more permeable sediments. So this gives you an idea of the where groundwater really wants to flow through these sediments. And you can see as a result, the way the geology is in the most down gradient basin, Bond Basin, a lot of permeable sediments in the sidewalk of the basin, and that's where the groundwater wants to flow when the basin's up full. So we're gonna zoom in to Smith Pit area right here, shown in red, and look at the geology a little closer in that area. So this is the cross section on the left, and what I have on the right here is a hydrograph that shows the groundwater levels in our monitoring well SC1. You can see we have a port called MP2 down here, about 100 feet below ground surface, and that's the water level that's shown on the graph on the right. And the hydrograph shows the water level going up almost on an annual basis, and this is basically in response to our stormwater capture efforts in Santiago Basin. So when we fill the basins up and they backwater, we see an uptick in groundwater levels in that area. That's what those annual increases show. But what I really want to point out is that about elevation 225, you can see that in the in-between periods when the basin is drained, the groundwater levels settle in at about that elevation. And that's what I've drawn on the cross-section, that blue line. That really showed that there's not a lot of room for groundwater or new water to be put in the Smith Pit if we were to do recharge there. Will probably mound up fairly quickly. And also point out the water level is above the bottom of Blue Diamond Basin downstream. So what that shows you is there's actually shallow groundwater feeding into on a Blue Diamond Basin. And that acts as a drain for the shallow groundwater in the area. And so if we were to put recharge in Smith Pit, there would be question marks as to what would these finer grain layers do in terms of mounding and redirecting that flow? And would some of that water flow into Blue Diamond and just become part of the recharge that's already occurring in that area? So it wouldn't represent any new net recharge. So based on our current understanding of the area, we don't know that improvement to Smith Pit would add any additional significant recharge. As we've shown, the shallow depth of the groundwater, some of those finer grain layers would limit the recharge potential of the area. And how much of that recharge from Smith Pit would flow downstream in the Santiago Basin and not really be new net recharge. So if we wanted to look at this in more detail, we would have to get more data on the soil, the geology, and monitoring well, looking at the groundwater level in the area, really understanding that more than we do today. And I finally just want to point out, if we were to pursue looking at the feasibility of recharge in Smith Pit, there are quite a few other factors we're going to need to look at and take into consideration. These include adjacent land uses, such as the former landfill that we highlighted before. We're going to have to look at the impact of flood flow from Villa Park Dam upstream. During storm events, they can release copious amounts of water downstream into our Santiago Basin. And we'd have to plan for that and deal with that. We also have the impact of future core improvement for Santiago. This is the last element of this main stem project, which included raising Prado Dam, improving the banks of the Santa Ana River. The final element of that plan is coming into Santiago Basin and actually putting in some gates to hold stormwater at an even higher elevation than currently done. We have to look at the conveyance of recharge water. If we were to do recharge at Smith Pit, how are we going to get the water there and do it in a feasible way? And then finally, the last item is the habitat. There's a lot of habitat in Smith Basin and endangered species in there. So we'd have to figure out how to do something to mitigate whatever impacts on my health. So I know that's a lot of information, but I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, I don't see any hands raised. Thank you. Thank you very much, Adam. Great report. Director Rowe?
Yes. Adam, could you go back to like the first map showing the basins and the potentiometric surface?
That one?
The first, I have a delay, you know, the map.
You want this one?
I don't see, oh, that one, yeah. Here, you say groundwater in your report is moving to the southwest, and yet the potentiometric map that we have shows that water's flowing to the west and northwest. If you put water in Smith Basin, it could conceivably just go west and not go to Blue Diamond or Bond. The hydrogeology may not necessarily be connected. They have the same elevation line. We have one point, the SC boring and well that was put in there that we have to judge everything about Smith Basin. And I think that's inadequate information to judge that it's not going to have capability to perk. Can you move on to the next, or maybe the last one at the end, the last slide, not the questions, but... Well, impact of flood flows from Villa Park Dam. Actually, there's those Villa Park Dam and also Santiago Dam, which handles Irvine Lake. And the whole area through Smith Basin, if you look at a flood insurance rate map by FEMA, it shows that it's a floodway. Anything that goes, that is constructed through there can be ruined by a 100-year flood. And it seems like every 5 or 10 years, we have a massive flood that wipes out everything. In fact, if you have a 100-year flood, it would show an elevation of 310 feet or 10 feet above the top of Villa Park Road where Santiago Basin is. So the things you have about at the end, the habitat and potential mitigation measures, you're saying that critical and threatened species, critical habitat area, that may go away. I think we already defined it to be a fairly small area, but that could be wiped out with the next flood. Go ahead. What were you going to say, Mike?
I was just going to say, Director Rowe, that we had the equivalent of a 100-year flood in that sub-watershed. What was it, Roy, about 8 years ago? You're muted, Roy.
2010. When was it, Adam?
That was 2010.
Okay, there you go, 10 years ago.
So 2010, and I don't think my recollection was the water did not overtop Villa Park Road, and in fact, there was little damage done to any of the Santiago basins, whether it was Bond, Blue Diamond, or Smith.
Well, you had the flooding that we're trying to repair now with that FEMA grant.
That's inside the basin, though. That's really not that wasn't right. Affected by the necessarily
flood. The 1969 flood, the 1980 flood, it wiped out the road, or what was before the road, and it has potential. That's just the way the flood map is. So I think there's still potential for San Diego Basin to be used for recharge on the order of 10,000 acre feet per year, which is $10 million that we don't have to pay for if we can capture Santa Ana River water pumped up to Blue Diamond and then have a floating pump station with a 2-foot diameter pipe to get the water up and over into another 100 feet elevation lift. This basin we've had for 30 years, and 30 years ago, our intent was to make it a recharge basin, but it's never been used, never been developed. There's no roads to do anything in there. We would need to get an access road to do anything, like test percolation pits, a geophysical survey, groundwater monitoring wells, borings to see what the potential is. You talk about percolation, it doesn't work in the Blue Diamond or Bond. It may not work here. It may work because the geology may be such that it's good. So I'm not on committee, but I think it deserves the need to do further investigation with at least some groundwater monitoring wells to investigate further the potential for this basin to be used. I've outlined a lot of the things that could get this to happen, and I would appreciate it if our staff could move forward on doing that. Thank you.
And we will follow the direction of the committee and the direction of the board, Director Rowe. There are other significant challenges that Adam didn't get into as far as how you would hold water because of the difference in elevation. You'd have to build some sort of a structure.
Cascading berms or basins, just like you do in the Santa Ana River.
I would say that this site poses significantly more challenges than the Santa Ana River does. And as far as thinking that we could capture 10,000 additional acre feet of storm flow just by developing this basin, I think would certainly warrant more studies. I can remember when we built developed Bond and Blue Diamond, we were saying we'd capture an additional 25,000 acre feet of storm flow per year. Very rarely do we get those types of numbers. We certainly don't get them every year. That would have to be part of the analysis. I guess it just seems to staff that upon looking at this, the challenges are so significant that trying to develop a project like this would not pencil out. Now, there again, certainly if the board wants us to look into it a little deeper, we'd certainly be willing to do that, obviously.
Well, I appeal to my fellow board members who are on the committee to support me, at least to do an initial phase study. We're not going to be blowing a lot of money and doing additional studies, but I would appreciate the support for moving forward on this. Could somebody make a motion to support?
Well, this was brought forward as an informational item.
I have a question. I have a question, Madam Chair.
Yes, Director Sheldon.
In response to Director Rowe's comments and questions, Mike, what would be the level of work to bring something back to us to respond to some of his questions at the next meeting?
The level of questions that have been asked, we would certainly take additional time. And given the current staff workload on PFAS and other issues, in order to bring something that would satisfy the committee, it could be a fairly lengthy amount of time. I mean, I'd hate to speculate at this point in time. We can give it more thought, get together with staff, and come up with a more suitable answer to your question, Director.
Well, Schiller. Nothing's been done with it for 30 years. What's another couple of years?
Okay, and
there's a reason. I mean, we haven't really had the ability where we would have been able to fully utilize it in those 30 years. So
maybe you could come back with just some of the questions and with the questions thought out and kind of pose some thoughts on those at the next meeting or the subsequent meeting. It doesn't have to be It doesn't have to be in 30 days. I don't hear Director Rowe asking that, but...
Well, no, we can certainly come back at the next WIC meeting and try to address what we believe some of the challenges are and try to answer some of the questions that Director Rowe posed this morning.
Okay, we have another question. Director Swan.
Yes, thank you very much, Kathy. Right now, the water that was going up to the Bond pits or the San Diego pits was river water, and river water, as you know, had the PFAS in it, and that PFAS is gone and started to contaminate the wells down gradient. And in your write-up, you talked about, you know, finding a recharge, an alternative recharge, you know, for that area, and that you didn't think there was really one. And yet there is one. There's pipelines that go to the submerged reservoir, the submerged dam that is between Villa Park Dam and the pits, to take MWD untreated water right to the San Diego pits. Whether you do this new pit, you know, develop this other pit, the Smith pit, or not, have you looked at that as a way of getting water there? Because right now, you don't have the ability, as I understand, to bring any water up there because of the PFAS contamination in the river. Thank you.
And that is the current status, Director Swan, but we hope to be able to recommence pumping water up to Santiago in the near future.
Okay, I don't see any other hands. Moving on, the November.
So wait, Director Green, did we get a consensus, or Chairman Green, on Director Rowe's comments, and staff's going to come back in 30 days or in next WIC meeting? Was that confirmed?
Yes, staff is committed to do that.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. The November 11th meeting for water issues will be moved to November 12th. We put everything on consent calendar. Do we have any directors' announcements or reports? See any hands? Okay, General Manager.
Nothing to report, Madam Chair.
Okay, we are adjourned. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.